Well, well, well. Hello, and welcome to Going Places with Shaggy, your host, your local gay. You're maybe not so local, but still gay. Anyway, hi. I hope you're doing great. I hope you had a nice week, nice day, nice everything, bitch. I hope you're living in a pink cloud. Made of cotton candy and beautiful sunshines. More than one sun, actually. Yeah. I hope you have three suns. One that is, you know, the sun. One that is blue. And one that is purple. Because by proudness... Oh, no. Wait. No. In my head, I was just like, purple, blue. I forgot the colors of the bi-flag fight. No, the bi-flag is not orange, blue, and purple. It's blue, purple, and pink. Thank you really much. Please, if there's bisexuals, bisexuals listening to this podcast, take your forks and slam me. Slam me to the ground. Jesus. But yes, apart from distinguishing people by their sexuality, I have quite a lot of content for you. Well, content, I mean opinions that are mostly improvised. But still, we're going to have a very good time together. And my first topic is, well, YouTube, and specifically the Try Guys. Why am I talking about the Try Guys? Why am I the late bitch who's talking about the Try Guys? Well, let me explain. Because I'm not like these other bitches. I'm not like them. The thing is, I'm not one of those people who knows the Try Guys but haven't watched their videos in like, let's say, a year, 2 years since they left BuzzFeed. I'm not one of those bitches. I'm one of the bitch that listened to the Try Guys. You know, I think it was literally the day before everything happened. Because if you don't know the Try Guys, basically they are four guys who try a lot of stuff. And yeah, basically they have contents that revolves around that, but still they it's not just about trying silly things. Sometimes it can go really deep. Sometimes it's really human experiences that not everyone can live through. And yeah, basically they created their own company from that. They left BuzzFeed, who was the place where it was created, but now they have their own enterprise. And yeah, they're still going great. By the way, that's it's not the fault of the Try Guys. They are absolutely icons. Those three guys are absolutely amazing. They all have a personality that is so great. So it's not the end of the Try Guys. That's for sure. So yeah, I'm not like those basic bitches because I listen to them. I watched their show, yeah, the day before, because before that, the whole thing happened, that that Ned cheated on his wife with a colleague, and his wife was also working with them. It's also crazy. Anyway, it's just to say, I was watching their video, and then, you know, when I learned about the news, I was shook if. And I learned it when I was in a subway. And by subway, I don't mean the restaurant. I mean, you know, the tramway. I don't know what's the word in English. Anyway, I was underground in public transport when I just, you know, I opened TikTok. And usually I don't do that because that takes a bit of my mobile data. But for some reason, I wanted to go on TikTok right then and there in the subway. So I open TikTok, and the first thing I see is a drama channel that I follow a bit. It's called Spill Sesh. And you know, we can say our things against drama channels, but I don't know. It's some kind of self-made journalism, and in a way, it's great. And I know sometimes they're talking about the silly celebrity stuff, but so is TMZ. So in the end, it's not that bad anyway. So yeah, then there's the channel spill sesh, and she's talking about how Ned allegedly cheated on his wife, and that there's photos and stuff like that. And I was so shook. I thought that it was a fake account. So I looked, it was a real Speedy Sesh account. And then I looked online in the news. I watched some other TikToks, and I look at the comments, of course. That's one of the cursed thing about TikToks. For your own mental health, maybe it's better to not look at the comments. Because, sorry, I'm adjusting the sounds a bit. Okay, you still hear me? Yes. Anyway, the thing about TikTok is it's hell a bit. It's like hell. It's a lot of complaining, and it's a bit crazy. And we could say the same thing about YouTube, but no, YouTube is way better. People are grounded there. In TikTok, they are not grounded whatsoever. Though, I gotta say that some of the funniest comments I ever seen are from TikTok. Well, I think Twitter has the trophy, but TBH, I'm kind of biased because I mostly use Twitter, but still. TikTok is a hellhole, but you can find some kind of dark comedy comments. That's kind of great. Anyway, so just to say that I see this, I'm all shook, and then I'm going to class and stuff like that, and yeah, I was shook for the whole day. And you know what's the funny thing is? Since I'm, you know, studying digital media, it's my last semester, I had a class about, mostly, you know, we were talking about the digital media and stuff like that. And for some reasons, we had to do a little text, not big, just 250 words, talking about the viral, how does virality, I think that's the word, works. How does it work? Especially on Twitter. So I kind of talked about that, because as the class was happening, I was looking at Twitter, and it was all crazy. It was number one Ned, number two Try Guys, number three the name of his wife or ex-wife, I don't know. Anyways, just to say, it was also freaking crazy. Absolutely nuts. So I talked about that. I talked about the Try Guys, and I said, it's all crazy, and there's a viral aspects in cancellation. And yeah, from there, I thought it was a bit silly because, you know, I talked about that, and then I had to make a tweet which talked about it to see how the responses were going to be. And my point in that text, and I think it's gonna have follow-up text, is that cancellations has a viral aspect, and that when something is viral enough, people from random places of Twitter can come to your account and make more connections. Like, let's say it kind of destroyed the whole thing with Twitter, because Twitter for me, it's where people can talk between each other. But if you don't want to make that connection, you can really have your bubble with the same people and talk to the same people. But sometimes there's those kind of glitches where something is so talked about that people intertwined. Like, whether you like it or not, people intertwined. And you don't need to make an hashtag, because I think that was the whole premise of Twitter. Like, oh, you make an hashtag, that makes you able to talk to other people. No. You can type Try Guys on Twitter without the hashtag or whatever, and you see all the tweets that mention Try Guys. And when something is viral enough, you just type Try Guys and you see what the people talked about. And you can even, there's also subcategories. There's popular, but there's also recent tweets. And sometimes people want the recent tweets. That's what I did in the subway. I went on Twitter and I wanted to see the recent tweets because I knew that if I went to popular, well, they had some tweets, but still I was unsure a bit because it was still kind of new. So they were talking about their shows and stuff like that. And I wanted the spicy tea, the hot tea. So yeah, that was that. And I did that, that text, 250 words. And yeah, I had to take a picture of the tweet I did. And I was kind of shook. I was like, am I really going to use my furry Twitter account for a project? Am I really going to do that? And you know what, bitch? I did it. Fucking crazy bitch right there. I fucking did it. I took a screenshot of my furry account. And, you know, basically my tweet was like, oh my god, what's happening with the Try Guys? That's so crazy. That's basically my tweet. That wasn't much like, you know, connections I tried to make. It was just, oh my god. It was just a reaction, basically. And, yeah, I got a bit of my point proven because what I wanted to say is that maybe I'm not going to have the biggest amount of likes, but I'm going to have a lot of views. And when I went to the Twitter statistic, which I absolutely never do, I don't like to look at a statistic. Don't actually, yeah, that's an advice. Don't look at the statistic because it's kind of cursed. Because then you will wonder, oh my god, what did I did wrong, right? That's not wrong or right. So you can have the tweet with the most amount of likes, but still don't have a lot of views. It's all crazy. So just to say that, for your own mental health, I'm not advising. I'm advising you to not look at your statistic. Anyway, but for that project, I wanted to see that what the statistic were. And yeah, I did a comparison. There was a tweet I made like 2 days before did. And it also had 3 likes, or 2 or 3 likes, but it had 100 views. But that tweet about the Try Guys had 500. So it's just to say that people saw the tweet. Why? Because they were looking at the recent tweets about the Try Guys. That's why. So to be viral is quite, you know, it has some kind of luck related to it. But there's some kind of ways that are hidden, yet not really hidden. I don't know how to explain it, but still, it's just so interesting. It was really interesting. So, yeah. And I sent a screenshot, and I was happy that the professor was really happy, actually, about the whole subject. And yeah, I think I'm gonna continue to use my furry Twitter to show the tweets. Don't worry if you're following my Twitter account or if you're responding to my tweets. I'm not gonna show your face. Well, your face. You know, I'm not gonna show your account. It's only gonna be my account. But maybe I'm gonna say, "Ooh, I had this kind of response," but it's never gonna be specific, so you don't need to worry. And it's never gonna be a tweet that is me like, "Okay, I'm gonna see my recent tweets." I'm sorry, I don't like to be the bitch who's like, "Oh my god, my Twitter, my popularity, ah!" I'm not that kind of bitch. I'm not that kind of bitch that's just like, "Oh my god, my social media account is my whole personality." But I don't know, I just like to... I'm studying social media, so it's just to say, for me, it's more about the how people make connections now, how it's all digital, and how we have a culture of fucking memes. That's so fucking crazy. You know, so yeah, I'm not gonna send to my teacher the recent tweet I made with like a picture of Nick Wilde that looks a bit annoyed, that says me being done with a party upon entering, which by the way is a bit of a lie. Okay, spoiler alert, I'm a bit of a liar. You know why? Because that's not really a bunch of me upon entering a party. Because, first of all, I don't go to parties. And second, I'm not really invited to parties because people know I'm not going to parties. So then I'm not invited and that insults me. So then I say, oh, well, maybe I'm gonna go one day. So they invite me and I don't go. I'm not evil. Just like that's a bad image of Shaggy. Yeah, sometimes you just want to be invited. Anyway, so the Try Guys was quite the shocker, we could say. But apart from that, right now I'm, chilling. It is actually Thanksgiving right now, but it's Canada Thanksgiving, which is a bit, okay, I'm gonna say it. I prefer USA Thanksgiving, but not because of the values or whatever, the stuff like that. I know it's like a crazy backstory to celebrate, so it's not because of that. It's just because the date is more convenient, because the day is like, I don't have school today. I was supposed to have a class, but I didn't. So it's cool. I was happy to not go to school today, but still, I prefer to have it in November than right now, because right now I feel like I have energy. I feel like I know that Halloween is coming up, and I'm feeling happy about it. And yeah, I have the hype, but I know that when I'm in November, it's just like, oh no, it's too early to say, to be like hyped about Christmas. So it's just a long month. I don't like November that much. And if your birthday or something special to you happens in November, well, I'm sorry. No, actually, you're quite lucky because at least you can be like, oh my God, I'm excited about this in November. But for me, nothing exciting happens in November. So it's a really long month. And for the USA people that celebrate Thanksgiving, they have their pre-Christmas. I call it pre-Christmas. Actually, they should switch the name. With the backstory of Thanksgiving, it should be pre-Christmas. Pre-Christmas. Oh my God. But still, like, that's so fun. That's so fun. And they have their Black Friday that happens while that's happening. That's so crazy. That's so amazing. We also have Black Friday, but we don't have that whole celebration. It's just like, oh, Black Friday is that day. And what happens after that? Well, nothing. So, yeah, I'm quite jealous about that. I'm quite jealous. And for Halloween, I think I'm gonna take my same costume the last year, which is a student in Hogwarts. A student. A straight up student. I'm not Harry Potter. I'm not any other character. I'm just a random student because I like it that way. Because I'm self entitled, self no, self obsessed, and I want to be me. I want to be me for Halloween, but me but a tiny bit more special. So yeah, I'm gonna be a Hogwarts student, and some could argue, and you have a very valid reason to do so, to say, well, Shaggy, you have a full suit, full fursuit. A lot of people would like that. And you have it, and you don't wear it for Halloween? What's wrong with you, bitch? Jesus. Well, to that I say, I'm sorry, fellow bitch. I'm shy. And I don't want to wear a full suit. And also, bro, I have to think of my how tall I am, and that I'm quite large. And by large, I don't really mean muscled. I mean more weight, but still large. So I cannot wear a fursuit in my neighborhood. I don't know. I feel like it will scare the kids. And TBH, if I wear a kid, it was scared me the fuck out too. So I don't have that luxury. And I could defend that some people who are my weight, my height, everything. There's some tall furries in somewhere. There's some tall furries. But I would argue that I think they're better with kids. I feel like they got it. They got it. They put their fursuit. They have that ultimate confidente caliente confidence. It's absolutely amazing. And, you know, even without the suits, they have that confidence sometimes. It's just, they got it. They got it. But for me, I felt that aspect of more confidence with a fursuit, but not just a low level. Just a tiny bit to be like, I can hug someone, and still I don't hug often and for long. Oh my god, I have some stories about hug, holy shit, okay. But basically, yeah, I know that I wouldn't be like the furry that's like, oh my god, I'm a furry, woo woo woo, doing hugs and being so happy. No, I would be shy, and a shy, tall fox. And that's scary, because you're like, is he a fucking psychopath? Well, not yet. I say it in a Marilyn Monroe voice. Well, not yet. And by the way, that's not her voice, but I know it's like the parody of her voice. And they actually use that voice in the fucking movie. Oh my god. Anyway, that movie, I like the cinematography, by the way. It's the movie Blonde. It came out on Netflix. It's about the story of Marilyn Monroe, but it has some kind of spin on it because it's not like her real story. It's like an author that decided to do some kind of inventive story about her mixed with reality. It's all really weird. Anyway, so it's just to say, I love the cinematography, but I kind of think they did Marilyn dirty. They did dirty. It was dirty. They didn't put her in her best light. Absolutely not. Like, I don't know. I felt it was more focused about the man she dated. That was like more of the premise. Like in the... Sorry, I'm just writing something to talk about later. Anyway, they really focused about the man and her relationships. And her worries about, you know, she had a mom with issues and she never met her dad. So I know it's a big part of her story, like her parents and her weddings and stuff like that. But I feel like I would have liked to see the Marilyn Monroe that wanted to be, I think it was Sherlock Holmes. There was a role that was always played by a man, and she wanted to do that role, like a bit more before her death. Like, she wanted to be that actress that is more traditionally respected. And she had the heart, I feel like, from the other things I saw. I'm not gonna pretend that I know Marilyn Monroe, because that's the thing, nobody is gonna have the right answer. And that's the thing, I think everyone pretends that they have it. But no, we will never have it. But I don't know, I know that we kind of glorify her existence as she is some kind of angel, yet tainted with the sexual aspect of her career. But still, I feel like she had a good head. She had a good brain. Jesus, not a good. Anyway, she was intelligent. She wanted to be a lot. She was entrepreneurial. Anyway, she was a businesswoman. Maybe she would have become a businesswoman. It's just to say that it's, I don't know. I feel like to reduce her to the sexual aspect, even though I know she's a sexual icon, but still. She was more than that. The sexual aspect kind of was a war against religion a bit, and she fought it. She fought it, and I wanted to see the version of Marilyn that was more like, not the victim, the person who had it tough, but made it through. And had some difficulties, but had always had her head up high. Yeah. So maybe that wasn't the complete reality, but at least it was more of a dignified reality. And now they're just trying to say, oh, yeah, she's the victim. Yeah, she was the victim for a lot of stuff. But they're trying to make the victim her personality. That she had nothing else going on except being a victim. A victim of her past, a victim of her relationships, a victim of her career, a victim of her anything, really. And that's really sad. So I watched the whole freaking movie, almost 3 hours long, and the cinematography, absolutely great. But the story and how she was portrayed, not so great. That's my review of Blonde. So, yeah, before all of that, I was about to talk about hugs. Hugs. You know the furries, all wanting to have some hugs. Yes. Well, you know. I'm talking like I'm judgmental. Oh my god, how dare them? They want hugs. Like, what are you, cringe? No. Don't worry. I'm not a monster. It's completely normal. Hugs are beneficial for our health. And the furries got it. They said, we got that aspect. And we're gonna thrive. And we're gonna have hugs. And we're gonna have a better mental health, bitch. The thing with me is, I'm not so great with hugs. And by that I mean I get a bit, you know, crisp a bit. I'm not the best with hugs. I'm getting better. Like, I'm getting actually better. Like, it's going great. It's going great. It's going so great. But just to say that, I'm not the best hugger. And in the conventions I went, I'm still cringing about the hugs that I did so wrong. Like, I know that there's a timer in my head, whether I like it or not, that counts the time I do the hug. And I can say, assure you, that when it's 3 seconds, it doesn't go more. And if it goes more, I get shaky and I snap out of the hug. Really too, way too fast, by the way. And, okay, one time, well, I wasn't the first at that time, but just stay, I said, I made a hug with a furry. And I had that timer in my head. And then the timer should have stopped. It was 3 seconds. So I stopped so abruptly that I almost made them fall. That was so rude of me. They didn't take it rude at all. They are really great. They are really, really great. But just to say that, I almost made them fall. Holy shit. And during the convention, well, I went to two conventions, a conference last year and this year. And during those conventions, I made some hugs. Well, the first one was with my partial suit, and the one from this year was with my full suit. And yeah, it was quite great. It was quite nice. But nice if it was really fast. Because, yeah, I think there was two people who hugged me at one time. And I was, my brain couldn't compute. Actually, I'm sorry. I know it's unprofessional. I know I'm doing him in the middle of a podcast, but I kind of have to go to the bathroom. Is it number one? Is it number two? I don't know. But you can see maybe in, you can hear maybe in the, my voice that it's more than. Anyway, I'm coming back. Bye. Hello. Welcome to Going Places again. This podcast is sponsored by me. A guy. Did you heard about a guy? Well, it's simple. A guy is that's a gay. If you think of a moan, it's gay. If you moaned, you're gay. If you moaned, you're a gay man. Oh my god. Oh my, I mean, imagine a world where most of the population were gay men? Okay. I am a professional podcaster. You can see in my voice that is absolutely confident that I know what I'm doing. Oh my god, I love doing those sounds when I was in elementary school. Those. You think I'm farting? No, that's my mouth. You know, I was jealous at a point of my life. And you know what I was jealous of? That's right, bitch. It was the kids who could do the farts with, like, putting their hands in their armpits. I didn't know how to do that. I still don't know, actually. I still don't know. I'm a university student. I have education. I brag about my education on a podcast. And I still don't know how to make farts with my armpits. I'm gonna just sue the universe, TBH. I think that's that's against my rights. They should have taught me how to do it in school. Actually, oh my god. About that, I want to be a college professor now. And by now, I mean, maybe it will stick. So just to say... I switched my whole class. Instead of teaching about digital medias and stuff like that, or maybe and stuff like that, I'm gonna teach how to make farts with the armpits. And it's gonna be all adults because I'm gonna teach in college. So they all gonna be like, bitch, excuse me, I paid for this class and now you're teaching me this shit. What the fuck? Oh my god, Jesus, you're making me laugh. We should go on a second date. Okay, I'm not crazy. You're crazy. I'm not crazy, I'm so sexy. Okay, for a second, I thought I was Marilyn Monroe. But she never said something like that. She said, diamonds are a girl best friend. And I can tell you something. I know there are not diamonds. When I'm wearing my bracelet, I feel absolutely amazing. And someone really close to me made a bracelet for me the other day. And I can say it was so nice. Absolutely awesome. That person is awesome. And I have an awesome better bracelet. And I feel great. So, yes, I'm happy about that. Oof. La la la. What a day. What a week. And if we keep going in that first route of that podcast, when I talked about the Try Guys, something happened that kind of corrupted my morals. And that is SNL, Saturday Night Live, making a skit about the Try Guys. And again, let me explain my relationship. But this time, not to the Try Guys, but to SNL, because I know people talked about the Try Guys. I know people talked about SNL, but maybe they don't listen to the Try Guys or SNL or both. But I'm the opposite, bitch. I listen to all the Try Guys video. I watched all those videos, and I watched Saturday Night Live every week for the last 3 years, I think. In the last 4 years, I watched all the episodes. All the episodes right when they came out. So, yeah. I'm using that TV's prescription, but by my parents. Jesus. TV costs so much. Anyway, so I'm watching Saturday Night Live, and TBH, at first, I was happy when I saw they were doing a skit about the Try Guys, because I was like, that was my social media shit. It wasn't like traditional media shit. It was my social media shit. But the thing with like the... actually, I just realized that maybe you heard all my pillows, because I keep touching my pillows. Did you hear it when I did some kind of testing. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I did the testing. Okay, it's good now. Anyway, so yeah, I watched Saturday Night Live for so long now, and I was happy when I saw that they were doing the Try Guys, because yeah, touch it, blah, blah, blah. And then it got a bit weird, because in their skit, they decided to make fun not on the situation itself, but more of their decision to fire Ned, in a way. Like, they made fun of that. They said, oh my god, he had a consensual relationship? Well, I guess we should fire him. Why? Because he didn't tell us. And I just, you know, I like dark comedy. Like, I'm a sucker for jokes that are absolutely inappropriate. But the thing is, with that, and SNL, and I know SNL gets bashed a lot. They say, oh, it's cringe, oh, it's that, you know, it's this. But most of the time, I'm like, no, guys, it's good. No, guys, it's okay. It's another form of comedy. No, it's okay. The only time I really said something about SNL is when they invited Elon Musk. And I was just like, okay, yeah, that's cringe. That's cringe. Anyway, so just to say that, apart from that, I never really said anything against them. But then, yeah, they do that and they kind of make fun of the three guys. The Try Guys, by the way, the Try Guys. And I just really felt, well, bad for them, but also really angry. Like, because I'm going to tell you something. I cannot repeat it enough. Yes, it was a cheating scandal or whatever, but it was with an employee who was below him. And that's the thing that comes out a lot. And it's true. That's enough of itself. But also, his wife was working in that company. He was cheating with an employee while his wife was there. It's all so crazy. So it's just to say that it's not... I feel like it's sad that we have to explain it, but it's... It was... It really kind of destroyed the whole vibe of the company. They have to rebuild it. So, for SNL to make fun of that, like the three guys are stupid? They're not. And, okay, I don't believe anything that's on Twitter, but I saw a tweet explaining that apparently there's a friend of Ned who works for Saturday Night Live and is apparently a writer for Saturday Night Live. Maybe it's false. Maybe it's right. That's actually like the app, not the social media account, Deux-moi, I think. Deux-moi. Everyone says it with an accent. They say, Deux-moi. But I'm French, so I can say the proper way. Deux-moi. Well, I say with a Quebecer accent. I want to try with a French from France accent. Deux-moi. 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 Whoa. I sound like a whale. Whoa! 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 No, I sound like a whale who's having sex. Whoa! 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 Oh! Anyways, just to say that. Yeah, I know like the social media Dumwa that says something and sometimes it's completely false and sometimes it's completely right. But it's just to say that this account predicted the whole thing with the Try Guys. Well, predicted. They knew before everyone else. So they said it. People maybe didn't believe it or believed it. We don't know. And then, bam, it was true and everything came apart. So I think maybe it's false that Ned doesn't know someone from Saturday Night Live. But maybe it's a Dumois situation. And it's actually true. He does know someone from Saturday Night Live, and they made a skit to make him look good. And you know who I feel bad for in this situation? The Try Guys. Anyone who's working with the Try Guys. But also the comedians in Saturday Night Live who had to do that skit. And they get, you know, judged because of that skit. They didn't wrote. And I know, in a way, they should... Oh, we are like, oh, well, they should have said something. It's their job. It's their job. They do jokes. It's their job. I'm sure they're going to stop at something that they... It's absolutely sure that it's morally corrupted. They say, oh, I'm not going to do that. But for the Try Guys, still, the normal medias, the normal people don't know who the Try Guys are. They don't know. So it's just to say that maybe they didn't know who they really were. And they didn't know the situation really well. And they said, oh, it's a gig, it's a joke, so we got to do the joke. And for that, it's like... So yeah, for me, who I'm angry with that one... is the writers. I know they make me laugh with the other jokes, but this felt really inappropriate. Really inappropriate. I'm a sucker for dog jokes, but I'm not sucker for jokes that kind of bust to empire relationships, being like, oh, that's so silly. Ha ha ha. That's so silly. Anyway, I feel like people who are, like, defensive about that, but not the people, but, you know, I know there's a cultural change. Like, literally, I saw a documentary about, you know, a receptionist and the classes you had to make to become a receptionist. And those classes, if you want to cringe... do that type class to be a receptionist in the 50s, 60s, let's say. So when you see those classes, you see a bunch of women, by the way, not men. And by the way, I was once a receptionist and I was the first man in that company. And you know what I was? Absolutely great. Absolutely great. So... yeah, there's that class with a bunch of women, and there's all they taught was how you had to be well dressed, you had to have a smile, you had to be really polite, but it was all like, you know, I know that to be a receptionist, you had to be able to talk to people and stuff like that. You have to be nice, a nice person. But it's not all of the job. It's about, you know, well, the phone, of course, you're a receptionist, but it's about dealing with the situation when the people are like angry on the phone and you have to find a solution and stuff like that. And I was in a retirement residency, so all the people calling me were living where I had the call, so they could come downstairs and whatever, stuff like that. And I was quite good at job. That, I don't know how I did it, actually, because I had some intense calls. Like, I worked there when it was the beginning of the pandemic, and it was quite intense, like, getting a call about someone who fell and stuff like that, and I had to call the nurses, and the nurses called the ambulance. I called the ambulance. Actually, I called the police. That's the only crazy thing. I did some crazy weird jobs, but that... I don't know. I know if you like working in that field, you're like, okay, well, I did that too. But still, for me, I'm just like, I called the police. Yeah, I did call the police. I called the police, I think, 4 times when I was in that job. It was something regular. I was just like, okay, the nurse was occupied. She had to be with the person. So I called the police. I said, okay, we are in this address. This happened. Could you come by? Well, now. And they said, okay, da-da-da. So, okay. I know the first 2 times, though, I was a mess when I called the police. I was just like, hello. And then they were like, hello, what is your emergency? And I was like, someone fell. And I'm like, oh my god. Oh, well, then they said, oh my god, bro. They said,
okay, where are you? And I was like, I'm in, and then I was searching the address and I was like, and then I remembered, wait, I am in, in a residency, so I can just name the residency. So I just said the name, and yeah, they were like, okay, do you know how bad it is and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm not in the room, but the nurse said it was quite intense. So yes, I was a mess the first two times, but the last two times I think I was okay. I really I got it. I was straight to the point. I was like, hello, this is the address. This is the residency name. Okay, I'm not in the room, but I can say that they are hurt in this way. They are in that position. They are willing to do that. They're not willing to do that. And from there, yeah, I think I was quite okay. I think I lost myself in my train of thoughts. But about the SNL skit, I'm quite disappointed. But, you know, it's hard because I say the writers, but I think there's a bunch of writers. Maybe it was one writer, his one skit, and maybe it was a senior writer, and the other writers had nothing to say about it because they're not seniors. And trust me, I know it's a senior writer, and I know that fucking writer is probably, like, watched that video about being a receptionist in the 60s and said, makes sense. Makes sense. Yes. So yeah, but maybe I'm making an assumption, but still, I feel like that's what happens. And now I briefly explain how I wanted to be a college teacher, but not like the other times when I say, I want to do that job. I'm actually doing this stuff to become a college teacher. How's that? Well, I'm finishing my program in December. And in January, I'm entering a new program, which is like a year long, something like that. And it's an education in how to teach in college or university. But I think I'm really going to stick with college. I know this. Okay. There's a difference. Do I want to explain it? Yes, I want to explain it. I love to talk about education. Basically, I think it's a bit like USA. There's the colleges, community college. Well, we have some kind of community college here, except that you have to go to community college. It's not like a choice, like you have to go to university. It's not like you have a choice that if you go to university and pay a lot, or you go to community college so that it's less money and then you go to university and stuff like that. No. It's really, you have to go to community college to go to university. It's not a choice. It's an obligation. Except some little ways that I found like a year ago that you can technically go to university straight away. It's possible. There's like, I think, a program in university, I think it's a year long, you can do to then go in a normal program. Or you can go to your university that is in another province, but you do it online, like, let's say the University of Ottawa. And even though you're in Montreal, you go to that university, but it's online, so you don't have to move. But I'm going far with that. It's just to say that it's the equivalent of wanting to study in community college. And we say here CGIP. So I want to be a CGIP / college teacher. In what field? Well, I don't have a lot of experience, but I know all about digital communication. Jesus fuck. And I also have a little experience in cinema, so maybe cinema or medias. I think for that's a thing, though. I am aware that there's not a lot of need for communication teachers, professors. There's not a big need for that. But I'm still gonna try. And you know, I have a plan B, which is becoming plan A, depending on the days, which is like something more related to the administration of schools. But yeah, the program I'm doing, yeah, it's a program in education, but it's specifically to learn how to teach in adult setting education. And yeah, I'm willing to try to be a communication professor. And I know maybe it's not going to be completely related to what I studied for, which is digital medias. It would be fun if it was, but I am aware that communication is a big field and they sometimes get intertwined. We can talk about, well, cinema, which is good. I at least studied in cinema, but there's also journalism, which I think I did a class, but I didn't study journalism, so I could be thrown doing a journalist class maybe, and you know I'm okay with it. I'm okay. I'm a bit scared because I'm not a journalist, but I'm willing to try. If I don't have a choice, I will be the worst journalist. I will just be like, I think something is happening right where I am, sitting right there. Oh, what do you see, Shaggy?
Well, there's like, I don't know, the wind is windy. And like, I don't know, the people are scared because the wind.
The hunter girl said, Shaggy, why do you sound like a ghost from the 50s? Well, not the 50s, from Scooby-Doo. Why do you sound like a ghost from Scooby-Doo? And I say,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow. Wow. What a freaking day. What a freaking month. And now I want to talk about something that made me really happy yesterday. And that is to see my first stand-up show. It made me feel so happy. And it was a YouTuber called Call Dan Howell. You probably, if you recognize him, it's from the duo Dan and Phil. And yeah, they've been doing comedy together. Now they're doing their own separate stuff. Yeah, they also do collaborative stuff. They didn't like separate. It's not like a band separating situation. It's not that. But yeah, I went there. I was with a furry that a really cool furry. Very cool. And yeah, we named Forrester. And yeah, we had a nice time. It was really nice. TBH, though, again, not great with when there's a lot of people. So when I just entered and there was like no alcohol in my body, I was a bit, you know, not really talkative because I was a bit scared of everyone and stuff like that. But and then people came to sit near us because anyway, there was a whole horror deal with the people who kind of had horror seats, but it was a whole thing. The security guard was there. She was a really small woman, but a lot of character. I know she would have just yeeted me out of the room. It's not because she was small, but she could throw me the fuck out. Anyway, just to say that, she said, okay, we're gonna switch the tables and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not the greatest with, like, sudden changes, so I kind of look like maybe a meanie in a way. And then she said, okay, well, do you understand me? Do you want to... Anyway, so just to say that, I kind of stand still and kind of look at her angry, and then she said, can I pass? And then I kind of realized that I look angry, so I let her pass. And yeah, basically I felt really bad about that whole situation. So I was like, oh my god, she probably hates me, stuff like that. And maybe it could have ended like that. But me being me, the concert the stand-up started. It was a big number. And instead of watching the fucking number with a YouTuber that I wanted to see for that long, I really was focused to kind of talk to the security guard, and she came close, and I said, hi, I just wanted to say that I'm sorry. about that whole ordeal. I just didn't know where to sit and stuff like that, and I was a bit confused, stuff like that. And I'm really happy because she was really understanding. She was just like, oh, no worries, I completely understand your situation, stuff like that. And yeah, you're all really cramped in that space. I'm gonna try to put some of you guys up there in another seat when it's the pause, stuff like that. And I said, oh, okay, yeah, thank you. And she said, yeah, no worries. And then she had a little tap on the shoulder. So, you know, for that, I'm really happy because it kind of occupied a big space on my mind. So I gotta say, in the beginning of the show, it kind of started really rocky because of that. Not really talkative even because of that. But then had my alcohol solved all my problems. Yeah. Take alcohol. Yeah. Anyway. I am pro alcohol. Anyway, so I had my first Monster Vodka, which, by the way, energy drink with vodka, really fucking dangerous. Not a great thing for the heart, because I felt energized yet smooth. Really weird. Anyway, I'm not gonna do that again, but still, it was a vibe. So I drank it, the first one. I felt a bit better. And then the show kept continuing, and it was such a good time. It was so well made, so amazing, so great. And then it was the pause. And yeah, I got a second Monster Vodka. And then I was sipping on my Monster Vodka. I talked to a girl there behind us. I asked, oh, how long have you been following Dan? She said 7 years. And I was like, oh, I think it's also 7 years for me. So that's great. Da-da-da. And then I said a kind of a joke because we were really behind. We were like the last seat / table. We were sitting in tables, by the way. So we were like in cramped in tables, but we were the last one. But we were not like in the balcony because there were more seats you know, up us, but we were in ground level. So that's unfortunate a bit because, well, we had a nice view, really nice view of Dan, except that there was a screen and we could only see half the screen, and Dan was showing pictures of stuff to make a joke about and stuff like that. So we were not seeing the images correctly. So we were just all putting our backs, like, I made a little joke to say, oh my God, her back's gonna be so fucking bad. We'll have to go see a physiologist because we just keep bending and bending to see images. Anyway, so little joke. And so, yeah, I talked to her a little. And during the second part of the concert, I was a bit, not tipsy, but, you know, well, actually more tipsy, you know. I knew that in the beginning of the concert when I clapped, I did some kind of fancy people clap with just the tip of the fingers. And in the end, bitch, full claps, bitch. And when he said, because it was really interactive, people had to say, yes, no, agree, don't agree, there was a part of the show, I don't want to say spoilers, because, okay, well, whatever. Anyway, so we saw people on the big screen, and it was just like, we had to say if they should be, like, not canceled, but, you know, canceled, but in a dramatic way or not. And then we had to scream, yes, no. And yes, at that part, I was just like, no, no, yes, yes, queen. Okay, not yes, queen, but still. My voice was more heard. And then it was the girl, even another girl, and she had some good commentaries. I said in the end, like, oh, my God, your commentaries were great. I wanted to ask for Twitter. But still, you don't want a random man to ask your coordinates. So I respected that probably feeling and just left it at that. Because I don't know. Or maybe you don't know. Still, I don't know. So maybe I was too shy. Maybe I'm trying to find a way to say, oh no, I was actually really courageous to not ask her. So, yeah. It was absolutely great. Seeing a stand-up was something I wanted to do for such a long time. And I did it. I actually did it. So I feel absolutely proud of that. And it makes me really happy. And, you know what, bitch? I'm seeing another stand-up next month. What the fuck? I'm going with my cousin. We're gonna see John Mulaney. And holy fucking shit, bitch. And I think we gotta have good seats for that one, actually. I don't know. My cousin took the seats. She chose the seats. And I don't know. I feel like she chose good seats. When I chose my seats, because I was the one who chose, went to the site and stuff like that, I kind of went with like, oh my god, everything is so fast, everyone is taking the seats, I'm gonna take those ones! So, yeah, I took the first seats I could see. I just said, okay, I'm gonna take those ones! But yeah, my cousin is more like, okay, I am a professional, I'm gonna take the seats before anyone else, and she took them fucking fast. So yeah, I'm more hopeful about the seating experience with the one with John Mulaney. It's gonna be in Ottawa, and beautiful city Ottawa, city of my dreams. I'm not gonna stay the night, but I'm gonna stay the whatever day, probably. I don't know. Ottawa is so nice, bitch. It's where the convention is, conference, Ottawa. Ottawa is so nice. I know some people say, well, it's a bit boring. That's not, you know, an attraction park like Montreal. We have La Ronde or stuff like that. But still, it feels spacey. You have space. It's beautiful. It's, I don't know. It's a really beautiful city. I really like Ottawa. So yeah, I'm gonna go there in November. I'm really excited. It's gonna be awesome. So yeah, for that I'm hopeful. And yeah, I think this concludes our podcast for this I was about to say this week, this month, this half a year, we don't know, bitch. Anyway, so thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I hope you had a great rest of the day, great rest of the night, and don't forget, bitch, that you're fucking awesome, bitch. Bitch, I saw you via the power of the internet, bitch.
And you're fucking great. Yes.
Anyway, thank you so much, and I will see you on the next one. Bye-bye.